Hello, lovely humans. Before we begin our story again, before we get back to A Christmas Carol, there is a potential for some interruptions during this recording, as I am expecting a grocery delivery and the cute little kiddos have been outside in the backyard today, both the ones directly behind us and directly beside us. I can't blame them. It's positively Christmassy out there, at least in the city right now, maybe just in the East End. We have some really cute little flurries happening, and it's very festive. So yes, potential for interruption due to adorable backyardigans and a grocery delivery. And clearly, potentially my voice as well. All right, A Christmas Carol, let's go. Okay, but truly, my voice is kind of shot, so my sincerest apologies for this one. The ghost of Christmas yet to come conveyed him, as before, though at a different time, he thought. Indeed, there seemed no order in these latter visions, save that they were in the future, into the resorts of businessmen, but showed him not himself. Indeed, the spirit did not stay for anything, but went straight on, as to the end just now desired, until besought by Scrooge to tarry for a moment. "This court," said Scrooge, "through which we hurry now, is where my place of occupation is, and has been for a great length of time. I see the house. Let me behold what I shall be in days to come." The spirit stopped. The hand was pointed elsewhere. "The house is yonder," Scrooge exclaimed. "Why do you point away?" The inexorable finger underwent no change. Scrooge hastened to the window of his office and looked in. It was an office still, but not his. The furniture was not the same, and the figure in the chair was not himself. The phantom pointed as before. He joined it once again, and wondering why and whither he had gone, accompanied it until they reached an iron gate. He paused to look round before entering. A churchyard. Here, then, the wretched man whose name he had now to learn lay underneath the ground. It was a worthy place, walled in by houses, overrun by grass and weeds, the growth of vegetation's death, not life, choked up with too much burying, fat with repleted appetite. A worthy place. The spirit stood among the graves and pointed down to one. He advanced towards it, trembling. The phantom was exactly as it had been, but he dreaded what he saw new meaning in its solemn shape. "Before I draw nearer to that stone which you point," said Scrooge, "answer me one question. Are these the shadows of the things that will be, or are they the shadows of things that may be only?" Still, the ghost pointed downward to the grave by which it stood. "Men's courses will foreshadow certain ends, to which, if persevered in, they must lead," said Scrooge. "But if the courses be departed from, the ends will change. Say it is thus with what you show me." The spirit was immovable as ever. Scrooge crept towards it, trembling as he went, and following the finger, read upon the stone of the neglected grave his own name, Ebenezer Scrooge. "Am I the man who lay upon the bed?" he cried upon his knees. The finger pointed from the grave to him and back again. "No, spirit! Oh, no, no!" The finger was still there. "Spirit!" he cried, tight, clutching at its robe. "Hear me, I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been, but for this intercourse. Why show me this if I am past all hope?" For the first time, the hand appeared to shake. "Good spirit," he pursued, as down upon the ground he fell before it. "Your nature intercedes for me and pities me. Assure me that I yet may change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life." the kind hand trembled. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all these shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach me. Oh, tell me I may sponge away the writing on this stone. In his agony, he caught the spectral hand. It sought to free itself, but he was strong in his entreaty and detained it. The spirit, stronger yet, repulsed him. Holding up his hands in a last prayer to have his fate reversed, he saw an alteration in the phantom's hood and dress. It shrunk, collapsed, and dwindled down into a bedpost. Stave 5. The end of it. Yes, and the bedpost was his own. The bed was his own. The room was his own. Best and happiest of all, the time before him was his own to make amends in. I will live in the past, the present, and the future, Scrooge repeated as he scrambled out of bed. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. Oh, Jacob Marley, heaven and the Christmas time be praised for this. I say it on my knees, old Jacob, on my knees. He was so fluttered and so glowing with his good intentions that his broken voice would scarcely answer to his call. He had been sobbing violently in his conflict with the spirit, and his face was wet with tears. "They are not torn down," cried Scrooge, folding one of his bed curtains in his arms. "They are not torn down, rings and all. They are here. I am here. The shadows of the things that would have been may be dispelled. They will be. I know they will." His hands were busy with his garments all this time, turning them inside out, putting them on upside down, tearing them, mislaying them, making them parties to every kind of extravagance. "I don't know what to do," cried Scrooge, laughing and crying in the same breath, and making a perfect lacoon of himself with his stockings. "I am as light as a feather. I am as happy as an angel. I am as merry as a schoolboy. I am as giddy as a drunken man. A Merry Christmas to everybody. A Happy New Year to all the world. Hello there. Whoop! Hello!" He had frisked into the sitting room and was now standing there, perfectly winded. "There's the saucepan that the gruel was in," cried Scrooge, starting off again and going round the fireplace. "There's the door by which the ghost of Jacob Marley entered. There's the corner where the ghost of Christmas Present sat. There's the window where I saw the wandering spirits. It's all right. It's all true. It all happened." Really, for a man who had been out of practice for so many years, it was a splendid laugh, a most illustrious laugh, the father of a long, long line of brilliant laughs. "I don't know what day of the month it is," said Scrooge. "I don't know how long I've been among the spirits. I don't know anything. I'm quite a baby. Never mind, I don't care. I'd rather be a baby. Hello! Whoop! Hello here!" He was checked in his transports by the churches, ringing out the lustiest peals he had ever heard. Clash, clang, hammer, ding, dong, bell, bell, dong, ding, hammer, clang, clash. Oh, glorious, glorious! Running to the window, he opened it and put out his head. No fog, no mist. Clear, bright, jovial, stirring, cold. Cold piping for the blood to dance to, golden sunlight, heavenly sky, sweet fresh air, merry bells. Oh, glorious, glorious! And we shall leave it at this most glorious moment for one Ebenezer Scrooge. Tomorrow we start off the day with some dialogue. Kind of hard for me to jump in straight into the dialogue, but you know, this scene is too good and I want to read it all at once and still splitting instead of splitting it into two. So yeah, there we are. Happy almost end of a Christmas carol. We're at the end of it, as Dickens said. What a title. What a title for Stave 5. Well done, Dickens. It's almost like, you know, you're a master of writing or something. Oh, I need a deep breath after that. I'm going to go channel some of that excitement into some Christmas cooking. I made some cranberry compote earlier this morning, and I've never made a compote before. They're so stupid easy. I'm going to do it more often. Anyway, hello, whoop, hello here. I hope you all have a very merry Christmas Eve and that you're all taking the best care of yourselves. Thank you as always for letting me into your ear holes. This has been such an incredible adventure and I'm sad that it wraps up tomorrow, but you know, that's the way things go. Things end. Everything must end. All right, ear holes, you have them. Thank you for letting me into them. I love you all so terribly much. You are all wonderful people. Please know that. And as always, take good care of your hearts. I love you again, and I'll talk to you tomorrow for our last installment, the end of it, the end of A Christmas Carol.